Welcome to Gemara Markings. Hey, Shiur is Sukkah Daf Nun Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's Shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur 7 lines from the top of Daf Nun Beis. At the end of our previous Shiur, we were discussing the need for separation of the genders in, mass assemblies. We speak about, the Gemara was speaking about during the Simchas Beis HaShoev and the Beis HaMikdash, and the practice of doing so in the synagogue. And we saw a source for that was a pasuk cited at the top line, V'softa ha'aretz mishpachos mishlos levad, and the Gemara made a kal v'chomer from the case of a hesped, a funeral, where there is a need for separation, all the more so when you're dealing with festive occasions, so as to avoid situations of levity, of kalus rosh. The Gemara here is interested in knowing what the pasuk in Zechariah, the top line, was referring to. What hesped was being referred to? Ha hespeda mai avidite. What is the nature of that hesped, of that eulogy featured at the top of our Gemara? So the Gemara answers, and there are two opinions. Pligi ba Rebbe Dosa v'Rabbonon. There is a machlokes. Chad Omar al Moshiach ben Yosef sheneherag, v'chad Omar al Yetzer Hora sheneherag. One says it's a reference to the Moshiach ben Yosef. What exactly that is a bit obscure, more in the realm of the mystical, if you will, but it's a reference to at the time of the eventual redemption of Israel. There is an earlier stage prior to the coming of Moshiach ben David, we'll call him the Moshiach. There is also a Moshiach ben Yosef, and individual or this entity, whatever it is featured here as being killed, and there is a hesped, a eulogy upon that death. And the other is a reference to the death, the killing of the evil inclination. That's as far as a literal translation of the Gemara. It's very hard to imagine a physical death to a spiritual entity. So the Mefarshim explain that in the future, at the time of redemption, so the power of the evil inclination will be basically eliminated, at least you could say seriously reduced to being non-existent. And at that point, so there will be a eulogy for the disappearance of the evil inclination. So the Gemara continues. Bishlamo lemandom ha-Mashiach ben Yosef sheneherag. Taking that approach, that it's a eulogy over the death of the killing of the Moshiach ben Yosef, hainu dichtiv, we can understand the pasuk that continues to say, vibitu elai es asher dokoru, v'sofdu olav kemispeid al hayochid. The pasuk says, and he will be seen as one who was pierced and killed, and hence a eulogy like one would make over the loss of an only child. Okay, it's a very sad event that the Moshiach ben Yosef is killed, and well deserved of an intense eulogy. Elo laman diomar al yetzer hara sheneherag, but according to the approach that it's a function of the killing of the evil inclination, hayespeid bo mevad simcha bo mevad. What are you talking about a eulogy for? What are they making a eulogy for? They should make a simcha. Amai bochu. What were they crying for? So the Gemara answers. Now the answer takes a number of lines to develop, And what we want to do here is focus on the element of crying. The pasuk indicates that there was an intense crying. What was the crying? So, let's point out ahead of time that Rashi has his approach, and if you look in the Marsha, he develops an alternative approach. So, without getting involved with the different commentaries, what we want to discover right now, at least, where is the element of, where is there presence of crying in the case of the killing of the Yetzer Hara? So, Kididorash Rabbi Yehuda, as in accordance with his teaching, the Osid Lavo in the future, Mevio HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yetzer Hara Veshochato Bifnei HaTzadikim Bifnei HaRishoyim. In the time to come, the Almighty will produce the Yetzer Hara and slaughter him in front of the pious and in front of the wicked. Tzadikim nidme lohem kahar gavoa. The Yetzer Hara will appear in the eyes of the righteous as a lofty mountain. Rishayim nidme lohem, and in the eyes of the wicked, the Yetzer Hara will appear kechut hasaira, like a hair. Halolu boichin, valolu boichin. Both groups are crying. Tzadikim boichin v'yomrim. The tzadikim cry and claim and exclaim, "Heich yicholnu lichboish hagavol kaze? How could we conquer such a great mountain?" So some mefarshim explain it's a cry out of joy, crying for joy. How are we able to remain pious, to be able to fight and ward off the alluring of the Yetzer Hara, of the evil inclination? So you see crying, but it's a crying of joy. Or Rishayim Boichin V'Yomrim, the wicked, in whose eyes it appears as a thread of hair, they cry, "Heich lo yacholnu lichboish eschut hasayra azeh?" How are we incapable of conquering a mere thread of hair? Their crying, of course, is a crying of exasperation. V'af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tomo Imem, and even the Almighty is in a state of Tomo, means wonderment or exasperation, together with them. Shenemar Koyomar Hashem Tzevokos, thusly Hashem says, Ki Pole Be'enai She'eru Sa'om Hazeh Be'yomi Mohem Ki Be'enai Yipole. Yipole is an expression of wonderment, of exasperation, and so in my eyes it will be something just incredible, as we saw that the Rishoyim feel a sense of great disappointment that they were not able to conquer a thread of hair. And the Gemara continues with the theme of the Yetzer Hara, and Rav Asi, Om Rav Asi, Yetzer Hara b'tchila doyme l'chut shel buchyo l'besoif doyme k'avoyses ha'agolo. The Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, before a person yields to it, so it appears as something alluring, but not a major force. It appears like a chut shel buchyo, Rashi says, like a thread of a spider's web. Something very small, easy to break. However, when one finally yields to the Yetzer Hara and allows himself to be seduced by its attempts, so then it's very hard to get out of its clutches. And it, this doime, it appears like a cart rope, a very thick rope. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Hoi moishche ha'ovon bechavle hashov." And we look at Rashi, Moshe Avon Bechavle Hashav, that's one who draws sin with the ropes of Shav, of emptiness. Initially, what the Pasuk is describing are people that brought upon themselves the Yetzer Hara. They yielded to something that was tantalizing, but it wasn't a major, wouldn't have required a major effort to escape its clutches at that point before they actually engaged in whatever forbidden activity they were. However, as time went on, it became like avoisis or agola. Those are thick ropes, and those are very hard to break. Tonu Rabbanan. Moshiach ben David Shosi Lihigolos Bimhero Biomenu. Omer LaKodesh Baruch Hu, the Moshiach ben David, the Redeemer of Israel, who we hope will reveal himself very soon in our days. The Kodesh Baruch Hu will address the Moshiach ben David and say, "Shal mi meni dover, ask of me a request. Ve'tein l'cha, and I will grant your request. Shenemar, asap le'olchoik, Hashem omar elai b'niyato, ani hayom yulidicha. Shal mi meni ve'etno goyim nachlosecha." Pesuk says, "Ask of me what do you want, and I will give you leadership control over the nations." So at this point, you would expect that the Moshiach ben David would say, "I want to be the world leader. I want to have control over the nations of the world." The Kevon Shiro Moshiach ben Yosef Shinerak. At that point, the Moshiach ben David sees the Moshiach ben Yosef who was killed. Omer lefanov, the Moshiach ben David will say, "Ribbono shel olam, eini mevakish mimcha ela chayim. I am asking of you only life." Omer lo, the Kodesh Baruch Hu responds, "Chayim, as far as life is concerned, ad shelo amarta kvar hisnabelecha David avicha, before you even asked of it, your forebearer King David has said, Shenemar, Chayim shoal mimcha nosataloi, Hashem oirech yomim oilom voed." So as far as that request is concerned, that's already been granted. Torah Shav Avira Vitamer B'Yeshua ben Levi. Shiva Shemois Yeshlo the Yetzahara. The Yetzahara has, for the literal translation, seven names. When we speak about names, oftentimes names are reflective of characteristics. And Lahavdil, we say the same thing by the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Kodesh Baruch Hu has many names. Each name is a reflection, a manifestation of a certain characteristic or aspect of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's workings in the world as we see things. When it comes to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, of course, this is just getting a bit off the topic, but we cannot describe the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself. That is an area that is beyond human comprehension. But what we try to do is we try to describe and pay attention to the different workings of the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world, how he operates, what do we see by way of his actions, and we assign or names are assigned or names exist to describe these very all these different characteristics and aspects, but we're never ever describing the Almighty himself. That is something that a human being cannot comprehend. And I often for myself illustrate it. It would be the same as turning to a cat and asking a cat to process a mathematical equation. Can you demonstrate to me what is 2 + 2? So for a cat, it's not within the realm of understanding. A cat can understand if you put a piece of fresh meat in front of it, so it will be attracted to it. So there's a certain level of communication with regard to a human being and a cat through different elements that are in the cat's realm of understanding. But there are certain things it can't possibly understand. And if that's the case with the finite, a human being and a cat, so the approach when it comes to the human being and the infinite, the Almighty, obviously there's nothing to talk about. But what we do is when it comes to the names of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, those names are associated with different aspects of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's hanhoga, his conduct, the way he runs the world. So, as I said, lahavdil, here we're talking about the evil inclination and different names that it has. HaKodesh Baruch Hu kor oi ra. And what the Gemara does is it gives names and cites psukim. In the context of our Gemara markings here, so what we're going to simply do is mention the name and the posuk, and as far as the depth of understanding, you can start with the Maharshal commentary and you'll see much more on the topic. In the meantime, the Kodesh Baruch Hu calls him Ra. Shenemar ki yetzer lev ha'odom Ra minurav. The yetzer, the inclination of a person from his very youth, is Ra. Of course, that pasuk shouldn't be too discouraging. All that it is describing is that a person has a certain bestial instinct, and the human being, in the Torah perspective, is supposed to overcome that instinct. A person doesn't live according to his instincts and his tendencies. If he would, so the whole realm of morality would go out the window. Moshe koroi orel. Moshe refers to the Yetzirah as the uncircumcised. Shenemar umaltem es orlas levavchem. You shall circumcise the foreskin on your hearts. Your heart's also the seat of the of one's Yetzirah, of one's inclinations. David koroi tome. David refers to him as the impure. Shenemar lev tahor bara li Elokim. David declares that the Kodesh Baruch Hu created for me a pure heart. Michlal, this leaves us room to infer, the Iko Tomei, that there is a heart that is Tomei. And again, the heart is associated with the seat of the of one's instincts and tendencies and inclinations. Shloimo Karoi Soine. Shlomo, called Shlomo HaMelech, referred to the evil inclination as the enemy, the one, the hated one. Shnemar im ro'ev sonacho ha'achilehu lochem, v'im tzomei hashkeu mayim. Ki gecholim atochoysal roishoi v'ashem yishalem loch. Al tikri yishalem loch elo yashlimenu loch. Let's take a look at Rashi on some of these points. First of all, the pasuk opens up with the ravenous sone, sonacho, your enemy is ravenous. That is a reference to the evil inclination's desire to seduce you, to consume you. What do? So give him bread. Now, Rashi says that bread is, the word lechem also has another word that has lechem as its root is milchoma, as a war. So give him a fight. And how do you give the Yetzirah a fight? You give him Torah. And we'll see a description of this later on, that if you encounter a person feels overcome by an evil inclination, and this more features at the upper part of Omid Beis, that he should draw him into a study hall and learn Torah. Torah and the study of Torah has the potential of quelling that urge and desire that can overcome a person to do sin. So that's the reference to lechem in the pasuk. The pasuk also made reference to hashkeu mayim. The Torah is also compared to water. A pasuk in Yeshaya that Rashi quotes, hoy kol tzomei l'chula mayim, is a reference to Torah learning. So once again, if the sone, if the enemy is overcoming one with desires and lust, open up a sefer, open up a book, a Torah book, and study it, and that could have the effect of quelling the ones being overcome with desire. Again, desire to sin. And the pasuk goes on to say that if one does this, it is like stirring hot coals on his head, and you will defeat him. And the end of the pasuk said, Vashem Yishalem Loch, and the Gemara said, don't read it as Yishalem Loch, but Yashlimenu Loch. And on this Rashi says, Yashlimenu Loch, Shiye Sholem Yitzucha Imcha Vayahavacha, V'al Yasiacha Lachtov Le'aved Min Oilam. This is an amazing idea, and there are other Gemaras that reflect this, that there is a point at which what's termed the evil inclination can actually turn out to be your ally, to help you out. And this is true if a person wages a successful battle and exerts himself to overcome the evil inclination enough. There could reach a point, like the Gemara says at the end of the first perek of Bava Basra, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu could actually give the Yetzer over to you. And the Gemara elsewhere mentions there are a couple of occasions where you see the Yetzer Hara actually serving as in your good stead. In fact, the Gemara in Brochas talks about a person serving the Almighty with the Yetzer Hara as well. A very broad topic, many sources on it. We will, though, continue in the Gemara. Yeshaya Koroi Michshol. This is number 5. Yeshaya, the prophet Yeshaya, refers to the Yetzer as the stumbling block. Shinemar, Soilu Soilu Panu Derech Harimu Michshol Miderech Ami. Remove the stumbling block from the way of my people. So he that stands in its way, the evil inclination, is called a stumbling block. Yechezkel Koroi Evan. The prophet Yechezkel refers to the Yetzer Hara as a stone. Shinema v'yisarti es leiv ho'even mibsarchem v'nasati lochem leiv bosar. This is a future oriented pasuk that in the future I will remove from you your heart of stone. And we see, again, numerous references to heart, and we indicated before that the heart is viewed as the seat of the evil inclination. The pasuk we say every day in the Kriya Shema, Lo sosu acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem. One should not follow the drawings of one's heart. So the pasuk describes the removal of the heart of stone and replaced with a heart of flesh. So the stone is the Yetzer Hara. Yoel Koroi Tzfoni. The prophet Yoel refers to the Yetzer Hara by the term Tzfoni. This is, of course, number 7. The Gemara opened up this section with 7 names of the Yetzer Hara. So he calls him Tzfoni, Chinemar Ves HaTzfoni Archik Me'alechem. I will remove the Tzfoni from you. Again, a future pasuk. But in order to understand this, what does Tzfoni mean, we continue in the Gemara. Tonu Rabbanan, Ves HaTzfoni Archik Me'alechem, the very pasuk that we just quoted. Ze Yetzer Hara, the Tzfoni is the Yetzer Shetzafun V'oimed Beli Boi Shaladim. And here you see a verification of what we mentioned before, that the heart is the seat of the evil inclination. The word safun means hidden, hidden within the heart of man. So that element or that entity known as Yetzer, which is hidden, safun, in the heart of man, I will distance him. Vidachtiv el eretzio ushmama. I will and cast him off to an area of parched and dry desolation. To a place that there aren't any people for him to entice. The pasuk goes on to say, and we should have noted earlier, but we've quoted on the side, we wrote in the whole pasuk, so you can see what we're doing right now in the sources. We're breaking down the pasuk phrase by phrase. So it goes on to say, there's ponov El esponov el hayam hakadmoini shenosan einov b'mikdash rishon v'chrivo es v'horak talmidei chachomim shebod. The pasuk says its face was to the yam hakadmoni, the original yam. That's a reference to the Yetzer Hara and its effective battle against the people, and eventually resulting in the destruction of the first temple and the murder of many Torah scholars. The pasuk goes on to say, "V'soifel yamo acharon shenosan eino v'tisheni v'chrivo v'horat tamidei chom shabo." The same thing with regard to the second Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the Gemara mentions in Maseches Yuma and Daf Tes that in the first Beis HaMikdash there were three major sins that they had violated. They violated Shvichas Domim and Arayas and Avodah Zorah, the idolatry and immorality. Of all of those are a function of one yielding to the Yetzer Hara. So the Yetzer Hara brought on the Arayas, the immorality, the Shvichas Domim, the murder, and the Avodah Zorah, the Arayas we said was immorality, murder, and idolatry. All of those are functions of the effects of the Yetzer Hara. So he overcame the masses and resulted in the temple's destruction. In the second Beis HaMikdash, there was a sin that we unfortunately have not solved as of this particular recording, and that is sinas chinom, was the intolerance of one for another. Sina literally means hate of one for another, but it has to do with a level of intolerance of one for the other for no reason. And that resulted in the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash and the murder of many Torah sages. V'ola bosho v'tal tzachanosoi, the posuk, that's of course a continuation of the posuk, sheminiach umas ha'olam umizgar b'sinim shel Yisrael. The posuk describes the translation of v'ola bosho v'tal tzachanosoi means there's a great deal of foulness that it produces, and that's a function of the Yetzer Hara afflicting primarily the Mitzrayim Shisrael. That's a euphemism, by the way. It means the Jewish people. The Jewish people are most seduced and afflicted by the Yetzer Hara. It puts all of its efforts into trying to knock down the Jewish people. Ki higdil lasos, Omar Abaye, uvatalmidei chachomim yoser mikulam. Believe it or not, the Yetzer Hara's strongest efforts are invested against Torah scholars. This is something that the Gemara will now illustrate with a story, and one internalizes this statement, one can only appreciate Torah scholars and their piety all the more. Of course, if one is successful in finding a true Torah scholar. Kiha d'Abaye, Shame lahu gavro d'ko'omar le'yitza Abaye, heard a man who addressed a woman, Naktim v'nezel bu'urcha, the man. The identity of these people is not revealed in the Gemara. Two man and a woman, and they had met with one another. And the man says to the woman, "Naktim v'nezel burcha. Let's get up early and walk together. We're going to go on a trip." And later we'll see that they were staying at some inn, and they were on their way home. So the man says to the woman, "Let's get up early and we'll go out together on the road." Now, we see Naktim, he's getting up early. There are probably very few people around at that time. A man and a woman that are, needless to say, we're not talking here about a husband and wife. So a man and a woman alone is fertile grounds for something else to take place, something of an immoral nature. So Omar, Abaye, heard this man and woman talking to each other. Abaye says, Esel, Afreshinu Misur, you know what, I'm going to go, and I'm going to tag along, I'm going to follow them from behind, to serve as an invisible chaperone, keep them from sinning. Ozal Basrayu Tlosa Parsi Bagma. He trailed them, three parsa would be the equivalent of 12 kilometers, Agmo is a marshy area, called a marsh, an open field area. And he went, as we said, for 12 kilometers, was walking behind them. Ki havu parshi mehadodi, when they parted ways, shaminu de ko'amri, Abaye heard them saying, urchon rechika v'tzavsin besima. Rashi explains, urcha rechika, derech rechoki bein shtei mekoim, esenu v'yev shenu oy leilich yachad. Our two locations, destinations, are far from one another, so we can't continue walking together. Tzafsin besima, that means that Rashi says, "Ilu hayinu yuchon leich b'derech echon hayinayim tzavas shelanu." It was very pleasant being with one another. So if we could, we would stay together. So we have a man and a woman who were obviously on very good terms, maybe even attracted to one another. And yet they have to part ways. Omar Abaye. Abaye says to himself, Iman desoni li have lo have motzi lukume nafshe. Now this again is a euphemism. Man desoni li literally means if it was one that hated me. He's saying on himself, if I was there, if I was with that woman, in that fellow's place, and that guy wasn't around, if I was alone with her, I would not have been able to resist the temptation of going, as we say, of going further, of conducting myself in an immoral capacity. Now, Abaye was, as we well know, one of the greatest of our people of all times, and in his generation, he was considered the Gadol Hador, one of the greatest of his generation. And when we speak about greatness, we speak about one who keeps mitzvahs, one who has Yiras Shamayim, one who is God-fearing, and to be God-fearing is ultimately judged when one is in private. And Abaye is testifying about himself that if I was in private with her, I would not have been able to resist the temptation. Well, Ozal Tola Nafshi Bibura Didosho Mitzdar Abaye parted the scene, and he went home, and he leaned against his door frame, and he was full of discontentment and discouragement. He basically took some type of self-accounting over here and said, I wouldn't have measured up. Here was this guy. He wasn't the Gadol Hador, some common fellow who was able to be in that situation with a woman that obviously felt attracted to, but nothing happened. He, Abaye, who had toiled so many years in Torah learning and reached great heights of piety, he would have succumbed. Is that not a sufficient source of despondency? Also, Saba Tonale, a Hahu Saba, literally an old man. Some Mefarshim say it's a reference to Eliyahu HaNavi. Whatever the case is, someone came along and taught to Abaye, Kol HaGadol Mechaveru Yitzro Gadol Himenu. The greater a person is, the greater the evil inclination in that person. So if anything, Abaye, upon hearing this, would have been comforted. And that, in fact, was the compliment, so to speak, that the fact that he would have yielded and the other commoner didn't yield is just a sign of how much greater Abaye is. And this is what was mentioned earlier in the Gemara. Abaye himself had said, after learning this, you know, the sequence of things in the Gemara is out of order. Abaye, five lines up from the bottom, said, "V'tamidei chachamim yosher mikulam." That is his conclusion after hearing this, that the Tamid Chacham is the chief victim or the target, the main target of the Yetzirah. And just to address all those who are listening to this shiur right now, one with this understanding should not be, let's say, surprised when, unfortunately, there are stories of people that one associates with Torah and Torah study, and at the same time there are stories that, let's say, to put it mildly, raise eyebrows. And one says, well, how could that possibly be? The man is a Torah scholar, and he studies Torah, and he appears to be pious. How could this and this happen to him without getting into any details, without getting into gory details? That approach is fundamentally mistaken. In fact, it's because of that individual's Torah achievements and whatever, that in fact the Yetzirah unloaded his arsenal on that guy, and as a result he in fact stumbled and fell at a weak moment. So, as we just said, to bear this in mind, Talmidei Chacham Yosher Mikulam, it's very important to cherish the value of a Talmud Chacham and to respect Talmidei Chachamim, and the fact that something might happen from time to time and you hear about these things, that should not tarnish in any way one's value for a Talmud Chacham. And as I say, if anything, it might ironically only strengthen it, realizing that a person can fail at a weak moment. There are other Gemaras in the Shas. Particularly comes to mind some Gemaras in Kiddushin, stories with Rabbi Akiva and Rav Amram Chasida that show this point in actual cases. The Gemara continues. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, Yitzra shel Adam is Gabriel of Bechol Yoim. The evil inclination of a person renews its strength, misgabir, it gains strength over a person every day. It's a constant, it's an ongoing battle. Shinema, rak, ra, we continue at the top of Amid Beis, rak, ra, kol hayom. And by the way, the word ra, we saw before, was the Kodesh Baruch Hu's name for the Yetzirah. So that every day, it's a new battle. Omar Reb Shimon ben Lokish, a second comment also along these lines. Yitzra shel Adam misgabrelov b'chol yoim. The Yetzirah renews itself. In other places, there's a girsa mischadish shelov b'chol yoim. Renews itself. It gains new strength every day. Umevakish lamiso. Its goal is to kill a person. Shenemar tsoifer rosha latzadik umevakish lamisoi. The rosha, which by the way, is a description of the Yetzirah. The word Rosha was, in fact, it was not in the list of names that we saw, but certainly in the context of the Gemara, this would sound like another name. The Rosha, the wicked one, the Yetzirah, Tzofa means gazes upon, eyes a person, the Tzaddik, the righteous one, and desires his death. And if not for the Almighty's assistance, Einoi Yochol Lo, the person would not be successful. And this is what I referred to before in the Gemara and Kiddushin, where the stories that are reported there, without getting into the details of the stories, but the stories involving Rabbi Akiva and Rav Amram Chasida, where the Gemara mentions that the Yetzirah was going to actually overcome them until the Yetzirah was summoned by Shomayim, that because of the Torah of Rabbi Akiva, leave him be and don't cause him to yield to the lustful temptations that are there, that were as featured in the story over there. And that's what you see over here. The person needs the Kodesh Baruch Hu's assistance. The Gemara elsewhere has a description of the Yetzirah, and if I'm not mistaken, the Gemara is also in the early part of Maseches Kiddushin, where one of the Rabbonim said that he's like shooting eyes arrows into the eyes of the Sultan. Sultan is also the Yetzirah, and they go and it says you shouldn't say that. We saw that also in this Masechta, Giro Beni de Sitna, and the Gemara, as I say elsewhere, says that, well, then what should I say? So the Yetzirah himself gives the Eitzah. You should say that the Kodesh Baruch Hu should help you in your battle against me, the evil inclination. So that's what you see over here. It's a running theme. You need divine assistance in order to overcome the power of the Yetzirah. Shenemar, Hashem lo yazvenu biyodu v'lo yarshienu b'yishofto. The Kodesh Baruch Hu will not abandon the righteous one. This is a very fine line in Jewish philosophy, because there is the concept of Bechira Chofshis. There's a concept of free will. We say Hakol bidei shemayim chutz miyir shemayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven. One's income, one's health, children, surroundings, environment, all of those things are divinely ordained. But the choice that a person has to make, whether to sin or not to sin, that is in a person's hands. So that concept has to be resolved with what we're seeing over here, the practically unleashed powers of the Yetzirah gives very little chance, we'll say, for the for the person, and particularly the tzaddik, to be successful in overcoming those temptations. So, as we say, that has to be resolved. Whatever the case is, one has to always pray to the Almighty for his assistance in this ongoing battle. Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. And here we have a Tanaic source that reports that which we mentioned before in one's battle with the Yetzirah, Pogaboch Menuvel Zeh, if Menuvel is the disgusting one. Another description of the Yetzirah wasn't in the list of seven names that we saw, but here we have other descriptions. If the disgusting one, the Yetzirah, meets up with you, Moshcheu Lebeis HaMedrash. In other words, before yielding to the temptation, drag him. He's trying to pull you to yield to one's lustful desires, so you have to pull the other way. Pull him, drag him into the Beis Medrash. Drag him to a sefer, open up a Torah book. Im Evenu, if he is a stone, and we saw this description of the Yetzer by name, that he's called Evan. If he's an Evan, Nimoach, so he will melt. Im Barzel, hu mitpotseitz, and if he's iron, he will fragment. Im Evan, hu Nimoach, if he is stone, he will melt. Dichtiv hoi kol tzomei l'chu l'mayim. And that pasuk we saw, Rashi quoted earlier that the word mayim is a reference to Torah. So it said, all those that are parched with thirst, go to the water. Uksiv avonim shachaku mayim. Stones were ground down by water. Everyone knows the famous story that's associated with Rabbi Akiva, who only came to Torah awareness and Torah observance at an adult age, and the issue is how he could feel that it is coming to Torah awareness at an old age, at a relatively advanced age. The story has it he was 40 years old. Maybe it's not even worth investing in it, and he saw the effects that drops of water had on stones, that drop after drop. One drop has no visible effect, but in the course of time, you have this in many, water locations, bodies of rivers and the like. You can see the effect of a constant drip on the stones in the area, that they become eroded, they become smoothed out. You have river stones that are very smooth, all the effects of water running over them. If you look at things immediately, the water would have no immediate effect on a stone, but in the course of time it does. So the pasuk here is mentioning that that if one is confronted by the Yetzer, so bring him to water, bring him to the Torah, and the Torah will eventually have its effects. Im Barzel Hu, if the Yetzer appears as iron, mitpotseitz, it will explode, it will fragment. Rashi describes this as a case of before we look at the Rashi, he says, Dichtiv, Halo kol dvorai ke'esh, ne'um Hashem, uchefatish, yefotseitz selah. The mitpotseitz here is a reference to the fire and its effects on iron. When iron is exposed to the fire, so sparks start to fly in all directions. That's the analogy here, to the Yetzirah, and it's being affected by the Devarai. In this pasuk, Devarai, my words, that's the words of Torah, and its effect on the iron, like iron, would cause the sparks to fly out of it. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonason, Yetzirah masitoi la'odam b'olam hazeh, umeid alav l'olam habon. This is maybe the most frustrating situation, and that is that the Yetzirah is the ultimate seducer of man in this world, and then that same entity, the Yetzirah, in the world to come, starts to testify against the very person that he seduced in this world. Shinemar, the pasuk says, "Mefanek minoyar avdoi vachriso ye monoin." Now, "mefanek minoyar avdo" is, without translating it literally, it has to do with a person who becomes enslaved to the Yetzer Hara, And then v'achriso, later in the future, yeh monoin. Now the word monoin, with what we call letter exchanges, shekein ba'atbach shel Rabbi Chiya. Atbach is a form of darshaning letters, that letters can be exchanged for one another. Maybe the most famous one of these letter exchanges is called Atbash, where the Aleph is the first letter of the alphabet and the Tav is the last letter of the alphabet. The Beis, Atbash, Beis Shin, the Beis is the second letter from the beginning and the Shin is the second to last letter. So that those letters could be interchanged, and the Atbach method, Rashi goes through a fairly elaborate, calculation in how this works out. But for our purposes, the word monoin could be exchanged letter-wise with the word sahadosh. It came by Atbach Rabbi Chiya, Kurin l'sahado monoin. So that the letters mem, nun, vav, nun can be interchanged through the Atbach formula with the letters samach, hey, dalet, hey. You can see, at least without getting into the actual equation, you see in the word monon, the nun appears twice. In the word sahadol, you see the hey appears twice, the hey being interchanged with the nun according to this Atbach formula. Rav Huna Rami. Rav Huna raises a discrepancy. Ksiv kiruach zunim hita, uksiv bekirbam. The pasuk says kiruach zunim hita. Hita indicates the pasuk says kiruach zunim bekirbam. There is such a pasuk. One is in Hoshea perek dalet pasuk yud beis, and the other pasuk is in Hoshea perek hey pasuk dalet. So the same ruach znunim, which is for our purposes it means the spirit of lust. The first pasuk says hita means a minor error, and bekirbam indicates something that's rooted in the heart of a person. Betchila, at first the yetzahara appears to a person and causes him, let's say, to stumble, a minor stumbling. But when one yields to it, then bekirvam, it becomes rooted inside a person. There are other Maamorei Chazal on following this theme. You have Rav Huna's din of that if a person initially sins, it's one thing, but if he continues to sin, it becomes hutrolo. The Gemara says hutrolo sakadechelo nasilo keheter. That's the Loshon of Gemara elsewhere, that it becomes, when a person continues sinning, it becomes as if it's something that's allowed, that's mutter. Omar Rava betchila. Again, another description, and here we have double underlinings. These are three names that David HaMelech calls the Yetzirah, and each name reflects a stage. So, Betchila Koroi Holach, Ulebesoif Koroi Oreach, Ulebesoif Koroi Ish. The Yetzirah, at the beginning, he appears to be Holach. Holach is a mere passerby. It's not someone that's going to be dwelling by you, he's just passing through. Then, as time goes on, when you allow him in, so he becomes like a guest. And then, if you continue yielding to the Yetzara, he then becomes the Balabais, he then takes over. Shinemar, and this pasuk is in the context of David and Bas Sheva, the incident where David pursued Bas Sheva to eventually marry her, but at the time his initial encounter with her, she was married to someone else, and we're not going to get into the details of that particular story, but that needs a lot of attention on its own, particularly in the fact that the public doesn't really understand that story in its legal detail. But nevertheless, it says, David HaMelech, it says, Vayavo helech le'ish he'ashir, Vayachmo lekachas mitzoino mibkoro lasois leoreach uksiv vayikach es kivses ha'ish ha'rosh vayaseh lo'ish habo elov. So in this pasuk you see the different terms. You see helach, and there is oreach, and then you see ish. All of these are descriptions of the Yetzirah and its different stages when a person starts yielding to it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Aver Katan Yeshlo La'adam. Rabbi Yochanan calls a spade, basically. He refers to when you look at things as they are in its naked truth. One of the strongest, if not the strongest, area of Yetzirah has to do with the realm of immorality, of forbidden acts of intimacy. And Rabbi Yochanan is referring to Aver Katan, literally a small limb. When you're dealing with a man, so there is a particular organ that the man has. We'll refer to it as the male organ, and everyone has that. And he says regarding that, marivo savea, one who marivo means makes it hungry. In other words, withholds from that organ its function in intimacy. So one who deprives it of excessive intimacy, sovea, he will experience satisfaction. In other words, his strength will not be depleted. Masbioi, however, one who satisfies the male organ with excessive intimacy, roev, so he will become weak and hungry, meaning, as Rashi says, gufo chaser koyach v'roev le'zikna. He will feel energy depletion and famished in his old age. Shenemar, the pasuk says, kemar isam v'yisba'u v'chulei. So Rabbi Yochanan's words, very basic, sound advice, and something to bear in mind when conducting one's war against the Yetzirah, particularly the Yetzirah of lust. Omar Rav Chana bar Acha, Amri bei Rav. Rav Chana says that it was said in the yeshiva, Arba mischar eleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shebor, and there are four. And here's a word that's very hard to translate in the context of the Almighty, but the word mischare generally is translated as regrets. It's once again, as we said earlier, we do not understand the Almighty Himself. Many, many times the Chazal refer and describe our relationship with the Almighty in terms that we as human beings can understand. To say that it reflects the absolute ultimate truth, that's hard to say. So here we're going to use an expression, and we're in the context of the Almighty, and we're trying to be hedge on it, certainly not even claim that this is an actual explanation. But just in human terms, there are four that the Almighty regrets having created. Again, it's very hard for me to use those terms because the Almighty, the concept of regretting is something that's purely human. But nevertheless, what we do see is these are very, we'll say, negative forces. So much so that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is reported here as having regretted creating them. V'elu hein, the four are Golus, that's a reference to the exile, Kastim, the Babylonians, Vishmaelim, Arabs, V'yetzahara, and the evil inclination. And the diamonds highlight each one of these. Golos, each one of these, in the context of the Kodesh Baruch Hu being upset, so to speak, by how far things have gone, how much destruction and loss they have caused. Golos, Dechtiv, Ato, Mali, Ponu, Mashem, Ki, Lukach, Ami, Chinom, V'chulei. In this pasuk, you see the expression "mali." This is an expression of exasperation on the part of Hashem that I took my nation and I cast them into the exile. Kastim, dechtiv, hein eretz kastim ze ha'om lo haya. The pasuk indicates lo haya, meaning halavai. It should only have been that they would not have been. Yishmeelim dechtiv yishloyu oyhalim l'shoydedim uvatuchos l'margizei keil l'asher hevi eloka biyodoi. The oyhalim are tent dwellers. And the Rashi says, "Elu arvayim." This is characteristic of the Arabs. Hashrechne ba'olim b'midboros v'ramikne kol yameim. Today one can see the lot of the Bedouin people. Exact description how they're transient people moving from place to place and spending all of their time tending their flocks. Number four, Yetzahara, Dichtiv Asher Harei Oisi. Rashi says, Vasher Harei Oisi, Reisha Dekra, the beginning of the pasuk says, Oisfa Hatzolea, Vanidocha Akabetza, Vasher Harei Oisi. And the Rashi explains, Ani Borosi es Yetzahara, Hamachtim, Vigoramti, Lohem Kolzos. As a Kodesh Baruch Hu himself takes responsibility, so to speak, for having created the evil inclination. One has to realize, though, on a philosophical level, that the evil inclination is, there's a very positive side to it, in that if one is successful in overcoming it, then a person deserves and he earns great reward. So that the Yetzirah essentially is the means of gaining schar, of gaining reward. And in fact, in the previous Gemara, we saw the crying over the killing of the Yetzirah, and the Gemara had asked, "What? Why should they be crying? There should be joy over the killing of the Yetzirah." So one of the Mefarshim, might have been in the Marasha, that in fact, there is bona fide reason for crying over the death of the Yetzirah, because that then signifies the end of the opportunity to earn reward. With the death of the Yetzirah, with the subduing of the Yetzirah, no more chance for earning reward. The common saying goes, no pain, no gain. No pain means the pain and the exertion that one has to invest in overcoming one's lustful tendencies or instinctive tendencies. Without that exertion, so there is no reward. And as we said, that is something that one can actually cry over without using the pshat, the other pshat that we said earlier, crying over joy. Here it's an actual crying in the sense that no more chance for reward. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Ilmolei Shalosh Mikros Halalu, if not four, the following three psukim. Nismoitetu Raglem Shel Soneim Shel Yisrael. Again, you have a euphemism. Soneim Shel Yisrael, literally the enemies of Israel, means the Jewish people. If not for the three psukim that the Gemara will cite that demonstrate that one's sins and one's merits are in the hands of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And again, this is, as was we indicated before, philosophically a very delicate issue about how far is the Almighty involved in this issue of the Yetzahara. So Rabbi Yochanan says there are three psukim that if not for them, we would have nothing to stand on. We'd have no chance. And the idea being that after all is said and done, we who do yield to the evil inclination can answer back, so to speak, defend ourselves and saying, well, you know, if you Almighty, you want to punish us for yielding, but you are the one that created this in the first place and put this major stumbling block in our way. Now, of course, as we mentioned before, the Kodesh Baruch Hu's ultimate intention was through this you will earn maximum reward. But nevertheless, it's a constant struggle and a constant battle, and at least The Gemara is here is telling us we have something to stand on in defense. So what are the three psukim? Chad, dichtiv, and the triangles signify these three psukim that are our basis. Actually, there's a fourth triangle, but it's not part of the list of the three Reb Yochanan mentioned, hence we see a dashed triangle. So the first, dichtiv asher ha-re-osi, I created the bad, says the Almighty. I am the one who is responsible. V'chad dichtiv hinei kachoymer biyad ha-yotzer, Cain, Atem, V'chule, just like clay in the hands of the potter, so too you are in my hands. In other words, I form you. So that our behavior, again, people are going to have to be very careful in this Gemara, and many Gemaras like it, that this is not to be the basis of what some call predetermination or predestination. There is still Bechira Chofshis. A person has a choice to yield to the evil inclination or not at any given time. However, at times it seems like the draw is so strong, so hard to overcome it. Well, that might very well be a function of what we're seeing over here, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is upping the ante. The Idoch V'hasiroisi eslev ho'evin mipsachem v'nosati lechem lev bosar. Well, here the Kodesh Baruch Hu acknowledges, I will remove that heart of stone, the evil inclination, and I will replace it with a heart of flesh. Indicating, of course, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is involved in the presence of the Yetzirah in our midst. Rav Papa Omar, Af Mehai Nami, based on the following pasuk as well, we can seek some support. It says, V'esruchi etein b'kirbechem, and I will, again in the future, I will put my spirit in you, indicating that up till that point, there's the spirit of the evil inclination that is in our midst. We continue now with a posuk from Zechariah, Perek Beis Posuk Gimel. Before, we had made mention of the Beis HaMikdash, so this section also will make some reference to that. Vayareini Hashem Arbo Choroshim. The prophet, the Zechariah, says, and Hashem showed me four Choroshim, four artisans. Sometimes the word Choroshim is associated with carpentry. Man ninu arbo Choroshim. Who are the four artisans that are being referred to here? Omar Rav Chona bar Bizna, Omar Rabbi Shimon Chasida, Moshiach ben David, Moshiach ben Yosef, Veliyahu, V'Kohen Tzedek. Kohen Tzedek is a reference to Shem ben Noach. It was also known as Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem in the is an encounter with Avram Avinu. These four are considered artisans in so far as the two Moshiachs that are referred to here, as they have a connection with the building of the Beis Hamikdash. Elio is referred to as an artisan. As a builder, he built an altar on Har HaKarmel, which Rashi tells us about. And Kohen Tzedek is a reference to Malki Tzedek or Shem ben Noach, who participated in the building of the Ark, in the Noach's Ark fame. So the prophet is given a vision of these four. Mosiv Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes questions Rav Chona's interpretation that the Arba Choroshim are these people, because in the context of the Pasuk, if you look at the next Pasuk, Rashi says that this next Pasuk, Basrei Ksiv, it says Vayomer. Now, the next word in our Gemara, if you look in the scriptural text, it's lemor. Interestingly, this pasuk with the word elai does appear in pasuk beis over there. But in Pasuk Dalet that's being quoted over here, the word in the original, in the Tanakh text, is Lemor. So, Vayomer Lemor, Eile, bear in mind, this is Rav Sheshes is asking a question. He says, when you read the next pasuk, it says, Vayomer Lemor, Eile Hakronois Asher Zoru Es Yehuda. These are the, literally, the horns that scattered the Jewish people. Well, Hani Leshuvasu, these people, the Mashiachs, Eliyahu Novi, these people are for the return, not for the dispersion of. Omar Le Rav Chona says back to Rav Sheshes, Shvilas Seifei Dekra. Continue reading the pasuk. The pasuk that you quoted will show very clearly that if you just continue reading the pasuk, you'll see that the word Chronos that you cited is not a throwback to the Horoshim in Pasuk Gimel, but rather, let's continue reading the Gemara, Vayavo Eile Lahachrid Oysom Liadis Es Kronois Hagoyim Hanoisim Keren El Eretz Yehuda Lezarosa. Rashi, he explains this, so let's go directly to Rashi. Shvilas Seifei Dekra, Rashi across from here says, go to the end of the Pasuk De'Ela Akronos, the Pasuk that you opened up with featuring Ela Akronos. Vayavo Eile Lahachrid Oysom Sof HaPasuk, these words, Vayavo Eile Lahachrid Oysom, is from the end, from the continuation of the Pasuk. So it's the Sof HaPasuk Hochiach Shetchiloso Einu Medaber B'Chorashim. The beginning of the Pasuk, which had said Vayomer Eile HaKronos, the Eile HaKronos is not a reference to the Horoshim mentioned in Pasuk Gimel, Ela Beumois, She Kishishol Hanovi Es Hamalach Ma'ila Horoshim, the Chronos is a reference to the evil nations that scattered the Jewish people. And the reason for referencing them is Kishishol Hanovi Es Hamalach Ma'ila Horoshim, when the Novi, when the prophet asked the angel, and that, by the way, you can see in Pasuk Beis, we made reference to this before about the word Eli. You see the prophet there is talking to the Malach. Ma'ela HaCharoshim, so Omar Lo, the Malach answered him, Eile HaKronos Klomar, Umos HaLolo, Asher Zoru Es Yehuda, the evil nations that scattered the Jewish people, Vayavo Eile HaCharoshim LaHachrid Oysom HaKronos Liadus Es Kronos HaGoyim. The Charoshim will come to eventually take retribution upon those nations that had scattered the Jewish people. So the Gemara continues. Omar Lei, Rav Sheshes, upon hearing this very fine response, he says, "Bahadi Chano be'agadito lomali." What I have no chance in getting the better of Rav Chana Bar Bizna in the realm of Agodas. In the realm of Agodas, he is the king. So Rav Sheshes is acknowledging his error in trying to ask on Rav Chana Bar Bizna's original explanation. So just to summarize what just took place, there Pasuk indicates, Pasuk Gimel, that the Navi is given a vision of four important people of, we'll call them people of salvation. Rav Sheshes had asked, how can you say that that's the intention of the Pasuk when the next Pasuk seems to indicate that what was referred to in Pasuk Gimel are evil? And Rav Chana answers back and says, no, the beginning of Pasuk Dalet is not a throwback to Pasuk Gimel, but rather what happens in Pasuk Dalet is that the Novi is revealed to the Novi that the Horoshim in Pasuk Gimel are needed to combat the evil ones described in Pasuk Dalet. The Gemara continues, V'hoyo ze shalom ashur ki yovo ba'artzenu v'chiyidroich ba'amonoysenu v'kamnu lov shiva royim u'shmoin nesichei odom. Pasuk from the prophet Micha, there's a reference to seven shepherds and eight princes. Man ninhu shiva royim. Who are these shiva royim? And Rashi, by the way, says shiva royim shmoina nesichim lo yodati bohem tam. Rashi says right at the outset, says I don't know the reason behind what behind these people in the context of these psukim. But what we want to do simply right now is to reveal the names, the identity of what the pasuk is talking about. Pasuk is making reference to a situation of Ashur. Ashur is translated often as the Assyrians, but this is prophetic. It's referring to some power, probably in the future, that will come and overrun our land. And the Almighty says, I will establish seven shepherds and eight princes. Who are they? Maninu Shiva Royim, David Be'emsa. So David counts as number one. He's in the middle. You have three on one side and three on the other. Odom Shesu Mesushelach. Odom and his son Shes, in English is referred to as Seth, and Mesushelach. They are to David's right. These are three individuals who were associated with piety, who existed before the giving of Torah, before the great flood. And you have that they are to his right, and Avram, Yankiv, Umoyshe, people who lived after the flood, Bismolo. Those are the seven shepherds. Man ninu shmoina nesiche adam, who are the eight princes? Yishai, Vishol, Shmuel, Omois, Tzfanya, Tzidkiyo, some have a different girsa as rather Chizkiyo, Umoshiach, Velio, and some reverse the order, Elio, and then Moshiach. A reference to eight princes. Again, this is very obscure to the extent that even Rashi himself says, Lo yodati bohem tam. Arbo sulamos b'chulei. We had learned in the Mishnah that in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, there were candelabras, and on the top of each candelabra there were four cups that needed to be filled with oil, and hence each candelabra had four ladders that would rise to the top of these candelabras. And Tona Goiva Shel Menoro Chamishim Amo. The height of these candelabras was 50 Amo. That's a very, very high candelabra. It would be approximately 25 meters. V'arbo Yelodim Shel Pirche Kahuna Uvideim Kade Shemen Shel Meo V'esrim Lug. The Mishnah mentioned that with regard to each candelabra, there was a need for four children. And Pirchik means young Kohanim, and they had in their hands oil, 120 lug. Ibaya loho, mea v'esrim lug. The 120 lug amount. Two possibilities. Is it likulhu? Oy dilma lochol lochal chol chad v'chad. Is 120 an amount of oil that's a sum total? Means if amongst the four children, there will be a sum total of 120 lug, or does it mean that each child would be holding a pail or a pitcher of 120 lug of oil? Answer, Toshma. You come in here, the following source would be Dam, Kade Shemen Shel Shloishim Shloishim Lug, Shehem Kulom Me'al V'esrim Lug. In their hands, there were pitchers of oil, each one 30 lug, a total of, amongst the four children, of 120 lug. So, if the question was, if you would ask, then how much was each child carrying up the ladder? 30 lug. Tana. And we have another source that continues regarding them, the children and the oil. Vehain, these Pirchei Kahuna, Mishubachim, or more praiseworthy, Mishubachim Hoyu Yoiser, Mi bino shel Marta bas Baisus, more than the son of this woman Marta bas Baisus, Omru al beno shel Marta bas Baisis. It was said regarding this woman, regarding the son of this person, shoya noitel, and he functioned as a kohen in the Beis Hamikdash. Shoya noitel shtei yireches shel shor hagadol shelokuach belev zuz. He would take the two thighs of a shor hagadol, of a large ox that you would pay 1,000 zuz. Now it indicates a very large, very expensive, large animal. Take its two thighs. You can imagine the size of this cut of meat, two ox thighs. Umhalich okef b'tzad gudol, and he would walk very slowly, means heel to toe, up the ramp of the altar. In an attempt to offer it as part of a sacrifice. V'lo hinichuhu echov hakehanim lasis kain. The fellow Kohanim said, no, you can't do that. Mishum baroiv am hajris melech, because the honor of the Almighty is through the masses, in other words, the more people, rovam, more people that are involved, so that instead of one person carrying two thighs, it's the preferred way is to have it split between two people. One person, each one carrying one thigh, so you have more people involved. So in this source, we see quite an accomplishment on the part of this son of Marta bas Baisis. And we're saying that the children were even more remarkable. Just another detail, when it says in this source that he walked Ekev B'tzad Gudol, Rashi points out that someone who's carrying a heavy burden, generally speaking, tries to run with it. Possibly it's easier to carry something heavy if you run with it and get it, and you have to hold it less time. He took his time with it. He was a very strong individual, very capable. So much so, the Gemara asks, "My Mishubachim, what is more praiseworthy about the children climbing the ladders with these pails of oil than what he was able to do?" Ilemo Mishum Yukro. If you're going to say it's because of weight. Hani Yakiri Tvei, what the Benot Shel Marta was doing on the Mizbeach is heavier, the two thighs are heavier than a pail of 30 lug of oil. Elo. However, weight of burden aside, there are other factors. Elo Hosam Kevesh, Umaruba, Velo Zokif. There, in the case of the limbs of the sacrifice, a Kevesh is a ramp. And the ramp is merubah, literally is a square, but it means it has surface area. And it's not velozokif, it's not a sharp rise. It's a rather gradual rise. You're going to the length of the ramp was 32 amos, and over 32 amos, so it reached an ultimate height of 9 amos of height. So it gives you a certain sense of what the gradient was. It was for every one amo, for every four amos of I'll say horizontal walking, meaning walking up the ramp, for every four amos you were rising just one amo of vertical. Hacha, in the case of the Pirchei Kahuna carrying up the ladders, it was sulamos v'zokiv tuva. You're carrying the oil up ladders, which was a very sharp incline, and the Gemara doesn't elaborate, but it's sulamos means, as opposed to the kevish that was merubah, a ramp that has a wide surface area. Sulamos speaks up for itself. It was a ladder. It's narrow, and it's there's no surface area. It's just rungs that you're climbing. And the Zokif Tuva, very steep incline. So those factors make it such that the feat accomplished by the Pirchei Kahuna was greater than Bino Shel Marta Bas Baisis. V'lo hoya chotzi b'sholayim, the Mishnah said that there was so much illumination that there wasn't a courtyard in Yerushalayim that was not illuminated by these candelabras. Tana, the Gemara continues at the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Isha Hoysa Boireres Chitim Lior Shel Beis HaShoeva. There was so much illumination that in theory a woman could have checked her wheat kernels. Wheat kernels, before one cooks them up, one will check them for making sure there's no debris amongst them, there are no insects or other critters that might be amongst them, no pebbles that are there. Everyone knows that before you cook up wheat or you cook up things like barley, you want to check them beforehand. So a woman, there was enough light in potential for enabling a woman to check her wheat from the or shabeshim, from the light created by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the festivities that we have been describing in the context of the water libations of Sukkot. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.